The Ian Jessup Show.
If you read Norm Farrell's blog Insights, you will learn that in the last 20 years, the purchase of power by BC Hydro from independent power producers, IPPs, has increased by 839%, costing taxpayers billions of dollars. As Norm correctly stated, the fight for our cash is over. The IPPs and Liberals won. We lost. Joining us is Norm Farrell. Norm, how are things today?
Hi, very good, Ian.
Norm, as an accountant, you've gone through the annual reports of BC Hydro for the last 20 years. Is it a crown corporation that is on the road to recovery or on the road to ruin?
I believe it's on the road to ruin, and I think the ratepayers of British Columbia are going to be forced into paying largely much higher rates than currently we're paying, partly because they're appearing to hide some of the expenses that they've incurred. They're incurring vast amounts of new capital expenditures, and yet the amount of power that consumers have been buying has been flat for 10 years. For example, in 1996, Hydro had delivered 43 gigawatts of power, and it had $12 billion worth of assets. In the 10 years following that, there was a 3% growth in assets and a 18% growth in consumption. But if you take the next 10 years up until 2006, there was actually a reduction in the amount of power consumed, but the assets had grown. Actually, from 2006 to 2016, the assets grew to over $30 billion. So we've had only a modest increase in consumption in the province, and yet the assets have grown from $12 billion to $30 billion.
Now, when we talk about assets, are we talking about the power that is produced by independent power producers?
No, those are not as assets shown on the books of the corporation.
So what are the assets then, Norm?
They've spent a huge amount of money on distribution, which is power lines around the province.
Okay.
And those are largely required to service industrial regions. They're spending a lot of money to put power into the Pacific or into the northeast portion. And they've spent about $1 billion or more than $1 billion into putting power into areas in the northwest, most famously to service the Red Chris mine.
That's right. This, the Northwest Power Line, I think, was about over $700 million.
Well, that's only part of it, because there was an extension to that as well, what they call the Iskut extension, which they allowed Red Chris to build, and then they bought it back from the Imperial Mining or the Red Chris Mine. Now, that's certainly a way of removing a project from the public view, because when it was a private operation being constructed, we were not able to look at any of the costs associated with it. So once the private company finished building it, then BC Hydro bought it. I could almost guarantee you that agreement was in place prior to the construction being complete.
Now, Norm, I think we should clarify for our listeners that this is not the result of a policy decision by BC Hydro with respect to independent power producers, but rather a policy decision by the BC Liberals, which prevents Hydro from producing any new electricity with the exception of Site C. So as a result, Hydro is stuck with buying power it doesn't need, as you mentioned, at prices it can't afford, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when the Liberals first divined that policy, they were looking at the potential of export markets in the U.S., and they hoped that would become an ongoing situation where the power producers would be shipping power to California. But because of the developments in those domestic markets and the increase of renewables and conservation as well, those markets simply disappeared. The independent power producers weren't willing to build these facilities to generate power and take the risks of the marketplace, so the deal was done with BC Hydro to guarantee to buy the power. Some of the contracts were not able to feed them individually, but the Auditor General has indicated to us that some of those contracts go longer than 50 years in length. BC Hydro buys the power at rates that are actually above retail rates that are in the U.S. right now. Some of that power that we're purchasing from the independent power producers is being sold for less than its cost to consumers in British Columbia, and it can't be sold to consumers in the U.S. because they're simply not prepared to pay the prices that are there.
So we're buying power from independent power producers at more than the power that Hydro could produce itself. How much is this costing the taxpayer of British Columbia each year? Well, any idea?
We're now spending over $1 billion a year on the power that's coming from the independent power producers. And as I indicated, there has been no growth in demand, and yet there's been a very substantial growth in the purchases of independent power. So one could imagine that without the independent power producers being online, that we would have proceeded with some of the changes in the hydro network, for example, adding to Revelstoke, which we could have done at an earlier time. But those things were just trying to look at the for the numbers specific to the. But we were buying in back in 1996 a very modest amount of power from independent power producers, and that was such as the Kamano project and so on.
Mm-hmm.
We've continually bought each year in the past 10. Our purchases from the independent power producers have been rising steadily. And we're now, I think the current year is around 15 gigawatts of power. And that increase in purchases from IPPs is despite the fact there's been no increase in domestic power consumption in British Columbia. So there's only two things that are possible when they've taken this extra amount from the IPPs. One is that BC Hydro has turned down its own capacity and generated less power. We know they've done that because we have video of them spilling water over the dams back in 2012. The other possibility is that they could be dumping some of this power onto those out-of-province markets at prices as low as 3 cents a kilowatt hour, which is about a third of what they've been paying the IPPs.
One of the things that I think we have to wait until public accounts come out, don't we, Norm, before we find out how much we are contractually obligated to the independent power producers in total. And I think the last time I read it was about $60 billion.
That's right. We only get a view of that one time a year because BC Hydro does not report the number in their quarterly reports. The most recent information we have out of BC Hydro was in the third quarter report to the end of December 2015. Some of the numbers that I've used for fiscal 2016 to make comparison easier, I've simply used the prior year's consumption figures, and there's not likely to be much variance from that. There could be a few percentage points up or down, but I think the comparisons that I've made that people can find on the blog are pretty accurate, and I think there's been no dispute of those numbers by either the BC Hydro or the BC Liberals.
Norm, if there was a change in government in May of next year with the election, could a new government get out of these arrangements with independent power producers?
Well, we haven't been able to look at the specific contracts that are drawn with the individual power producers. There probably is a very difficult road to get out of those arrangements. Now, one might be able to make some arguments that they were not deals done in good faith. One might also be able to impose transmission fees and other things, but we simply don't know because the contracts are confidential. And there's, know, typically we would expect when public purchases are made that the terms are put out to public tender and everybody can look at what those terms are. But in the case of these multi-billion dollar arrangements, that's not the case. So you might be able to go and track the latest tender for the purchase of copy paper at the government offices, but you can't go and look at the contracts that relate to the purchase of billions, tens of billions of dollars of power from the independent power producers.
Let's go to the phones and talk to Graham. Hi, Graham.
Hi, Ian and Norm. Just looking at the situation, repetitively, we've heard that this power or increased capacity is not required. Now, they're pushing Site C. And maybe on your program, we had a gentleman on from Integrity BC, and sort of informing us that the two major players who are now contracted in the construction of the Site C dam have all been involved with corruption in their dealings in the past. And really, where are we going with this site, actual project, other than bankrupting the province and the taxpayers, and in a situation where we're just going to go further and further under, and whether we can get some help with the federal government in recognizing the original rights on the territories, and whatever the landowners around the site to shut this down, because it basically does not make any financial sense at all. And we have a judge who put it forward saying it cost too much money to shut it down. So in reality, of it not being required in the first place, you should have shut the whole project down.
Norm, do you have any response?
Well, he's correct that of the one single largest contract that's been issued on Site C, one of the parties involved has been charged with business fraud elsewhere in the world, and the Canadian company that was involved, I had a look at their financial statements this week and noted that they do not have accumulated earnings. They have an accumulated deficit. So one really has to question their capacity to do the job that they've been contracted for.
Okay. Thank you, Graham. Appreciate your call. Norm Farrell is our guest. We'll take a break and come right back. Welcome back. Norm Farrell is our guest. He has the blog Insights. It's very insightful, and he has lots of information. Norm is an accountant, and he goes through public accounts and does all that stuff that most reporters don't bother with, and finds all sorts of information. Let's go to the phones and talk to Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hi, and thanks very much. Norm, way back in the Neanderthal age, when Ian and I used to walk around with our knuckles dragging in the legislative precinct, I remember that...
Speak for yourself.
Okay, all right. I seem to recall that there was a... In the government books, there was a deficit every year annually, which would then go into the debt column the next year. But I don't think there were two debt columns, and it sounds to me like we have one debt column that has some hydro debt in it, a bunch of government debt in it, and the operating deficit that's left. What I've heard is that there's another debt column that has the IPP debt in it, and maybe some other BC Hydro stuff, which means that, if I'm right, you have to add those two columns together to get the real debt of the province, which, instead of going from $30 billion to $68 billion, would be from $30 billion to a whole lot bigger number than that. Am I right on that, or am I off base? Thanks very much.
Certainly you are correct that there are more than, there's actually a number of different styles of debt. The province has recently taken to talking about operating debt, where they seek to exclude even the the capital debt that's being, that has been growing steadily. In addition to that, there's the contractual obligations, so that, for example, when they contracted with an organization to for construction of the Sea to Sky Highway, this private organization may put up a fairly substantial sum of money in the, for which the government has to make repayments each year, which are complete with interest, but they don't count that as debt. That's a contractual obligation that's put into a separate category. I don't quite understand it, of course, because you know, if you build a hospital and pay for it with a bond, by issuing bonds that are picked up in, say, in China, that's directly government debt. But if you allow put a private corporation between and have the private company borrow the money, build the hospital, and then you pay for it over time, the government pays for it over time, that's somehow considered a contractual obligation and not debt of government. So they're certainly playing a lot of political games with the debt figures.
I have an email here from Walter who says, every time I hear this, it just sickens me, knowing the incompetency of the Liberals have taken with our public purse and turned it upside down and shaken the hell out of it for years now. I'm not a pessimist normally, but this to me just smacks of payoffs and scandals. We need a change in the law that allows a new provincial government to extricate itself from this insanity. The insanity he's talking about is getting out of these contracts with the independent power producers.
Oh, clearly the transparency of these business arrangements is critical to understanding them, and it's also critical to preventing fraud. I'm just looking at the numbers here that in 2007, the IPP purchases by BC Hydro were around under $400 million. This year, they're probably going to be over $1.3 billion, and that's with no increase in consumption in British Columbia. So if we're spending an extra $900 million to buy power, where's that power going to come? Where's that $900,000 going to come from?
$900 million.
Of course, it comes not from the business users or the heavy industry users, but it comes from ratepayers and small businesses and commercial operations. And if you look at the rate changes that have occurred under the last few years,
I just want to ask you something, Norm. You mentioned right near the top that we can expect rate increases over the next number of years. Once this current round of rate increases is complete, can we expect even higher rate increases, maybe even double-digit increases, to the best of your knowledge?
Oh, I believe that's an absolute necessity. The amounts that they have been capitalizing, the operating costs they've been capitalizing and deferring, have grown substantially. It's over $6 billion now that needs to be written off. And they've in effect created fake profits so that they can they create an appearance of profit, but there really hasn't been any. In 2006, the BC Hydro had $800 million in deferred costs and intangible assets. And in 2015, the number was $6.1 billion. We don't know exactly what it's going to be in when they give their annual report for 2016, but it will be substantially above that amount.
Now, a few minutes left, and let's go to the phones and bring in Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You had a speaker earlier, a month or so ago. We were talking about how BC Hydro would sell to commercial customers hydro at 5 cents, what it would cost them to generate at 10 cents. Now, is that actually accurate? And, you know,
well, absolutely. They're paying, in the latest quarter, they paid 9.1 cents per kilowatt hour average price to IPPs. And their sale price to heavy industry is a little over 5 cents a kilowatt hour.
Would they lose that business, though, if they raised that to, like, 10 cents and then they made 0.8 cents?
Well, if you look at what the experience is in the U.S., the average industrial electric price in the U.S. is a little over 8 cents a kilowatt hour, according, and that's U.S. dollars, according to the American Energy Information Administration. So we're substantially below in British Columbia. We're substantially below what American rates are. Now, typically, we're told that Canadian costs of operations are higher, but in this case, the industrial users are paying far less in BC than they pay in the USA.
Yeah, I often wonder how a business can stay afloat when they're charging, you know, they're not making a profit.
Yeah, well, I guess that's one of the questions we're asking. Thank you very much, Ron.
I'll tell you that one of the things, most of these mining companies and so on are owned offshore, and they may well make profits that are just not reported in British Columbia.
Yeah, we've got about 45 seconds left. Hi, Brad.
Yeah, I was just wondering, why can't BC Hydro just go broke like other businesses do when they're too far in debt?
I think it's because they have provincial guarantees. The province would have to go broke first.
Yeah.
Well, we should do that too then, because they got too much debt as well.
Okay. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate your call. Norm, good to talk to you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Norm Farrell. He is of the blog, he's the author of the blog Insights.